start with our meeting and welcome colleagues and friends of the department, the legal team, and let us give the apologies.
The apologies from Mr. Stephen Maiden and Kosi Tebekulu. And Mr. Mukeka will be a little late for starting traffic.
Okay, let us invite then the welcome to the South, welcome to the staff. The discussion really is about one issue for briefing purposes by the department on the Constitutional Court judgment of the Local Government Municipal System Amendment Act 7 of 2011. Just a briefing led by the department, legal team. Saka is also here, we make some calls, and we allow ourselves time to engage in it. And I'm not sure the department then will indicate who's going to think us and introduce us to the team.
Back. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of Parliament, and colleagues from Saga. My name is Tebogo Motlasupi. I'm the acting DDG from COCTA, from a branch called Institutional Development. I have my colleagues on my left, on my right, we've got Ms. Vuyonda, who is the Executive Manager, Legal Services. And we've got Banele Nyembe, who is the Director, also in the Legal Services. So that's the team that's going to brief. We do not have the presentation, but we have just a briefing that we are giving to the Portfolio Committee in relation to the work that has been done by the department up to so far until the Constitutional Court judgment was given. Chairperson, as Parliament might be aware, that in 2011, the department introduced a bill to Parliament that was subsequently approved by Parliament and assented by the President, and it became law. At the time when we introduced the bill was called the Municipal Systems Amendment Bill. That was in 2011. I will take Parliament through some of the major amendments that we proposed at the time that were subsequently made into law, so that Parliament has the background of what really transpired leading to the Constitutional Court challenge. And Parliamentary Legal Services will then take Parliament further in relation to the way forward, relating to the kind of work that Parliament should do and the kind of support that the Department will give to Parliament in terms of coordinating activities leading towards the implementation of the Constitutional Court judgment. The first amendment that we introduced then in 2011 was in relation to us defining what we call, what we then meant by a municipal manager. We brought that into line with what was already in the Structures Act. We defined the municipal manager. We also defined what we termed political office. I will come to that when we come to the body of the amendments that we made. So those were the two major amendments that we made in relation to the definition in the Systems Act. There was also an insertion in relation to Section 54A of the Systems Act. In that, we clearly put forth and forward the criteria that is to be utilized to appoint municipal managers and managers accountable to municipal managers and any other person who will be appointed in an acting capacity of a municipal manager. We brought forth certain expertise and competencies that that particular person must have for that person to qualify to be appointed as a municipal manager in municipalities. We further went to clarify the process and the role that council must play once an appointment has been made of a senior manager, a report to be made to the NEC, and subsequent to that, a report after 14 days also to be made to the minister. The intention of this amendment was for checks and balances, to see to it that the MEC satisfies himself or herself that the person so appointed as a municipal manager has the requisite qualifications and expertise and competencies for that person to be appointed. Upon receival of that report from a from the municipality, we also inserted the section that that report should be then submitted to the minister. The minister will then also look at the processes and whether the person qualifies, and the minister will then write to the municipality, either in agreement with such an appointment or in disagreement with the appointment, with the proviso that the municipality must take appropriate actions to remedy that wrong appointment that has been made in municipalities. So far, this was the insertion of Section 54A that makes checks and balances for the minister, the MEC and the minister subsequently, to look into the processes of appointment and to then give a go ahead. We also make provision for instances where municipalities, upon the advice of the MEC and the minister, do not take those appropriate actions. Then the minister or the MEC will then have to approach the court for a declaratory order to say that appointment is invalid, and I've instructed the municipality to correct the wrong appointment which has not been made. Then the minister or the MEC may approach the court for an appropriate action in those particular circumstances. We also, Honorable Chair, came with the substitution of Section 56. It has the same, it's in relation to the processes and the competencies and qualifications of senior managers who are accountable to municipal managers. So the same processes that I've alluded to when we dealt with the appointment of senior managers is applicable under this provision of Section 36. We just took that and said, even those who are appointed, Section 36 managers who are appointed, who are accountable to municipal managers, must also have requisite qualifications, requisite competencies, and so forth. And in the event that such appointments have been made, and wrongly, the same process will be followed by the minister and the MEC to remedy the wrong appointment. We also introduced Section 54A and Section 56 in relation to the limitation of political rights of municipal managers and managers directly accountable to municipal managers. At the time when this was introduced, it was felt that there was some sort of political instability in municipalities as a result of senior managers occupying senior positions in political parties across the board. So this was a section that was included in the amendment that indicated that a municipal manager or manager directly accountable to a municipal manager may not hold political office in the political party, whether in a permanent, temporary, or an acting capacity. You'll see when maybe parliamentary legal services indicate to us about the court judgment that this was one of the issues that was challenged by some, one of the only substantive matter challenged by some that this is unconstitutional and it has to be removed from the system. So this was introduced in 2011, the limitation of political rights of municipal managers and managers accountable to municipal managers. We also amended Section 57 of the original Act, wherein we requested that a person so appointed as a municipal manager and a manager accountable to municipal managers must within 30 days sign an employment contract. Because we realized that municipal managers and managers accountable to municipal managers were appointed, not signing employment contract, and that made their perpetual employment to continue. And we said that this had to be reduced to writing and this has to be done in 60 days. Failure to sign an employment contract within 60 days will render that appointment null and void, unless that particular person in the municipality indicate extraordinary circumstances why this employment contract was not signed within the 60-day period. This was introduced also in 2011, and it has been working well up to so far. And also, subsequent to that, there should be an appointment, the signing of the contract between managers accountable to municipal managers with the municipal manager within a specified period. So the municipal manager will sign a contract, and those accountable to a municipal manager will also sign the employment contract. That will also be done with subsequent to that with the signature of the performance contract by all senior managers in municipalities. That was the other amendment. We also amended, inserted Section 57A into the original Act that deals with employment of dismissed staff and record of disciplinary proceedings. In this section, we said that for different categories of misconduct, if a senior manager has been found guilty of a particular misconduct in one municipality, there should be a cooling period depending on the gravity of the serious misconduct. So a person who was at one municipality has been found guilty of a misconduct of a different category will have different time frames of cooling off so that the other municipality may not appoint that particular senior manager in the other municipality. It also gave the responsibility of the minister responsible for local government to keep a database of all dismissed staff so that when municipalities appoint, they will then request the minister to check whether in the database the person that they want to appoint has been found of any misconduct, found guilty of any misconduct, and what category of misconduct, and the period, the cooling off period of the person to be appointed in municipality. We have realized that municipal managers or senior managers were hopping from one municipality to the other, even though they've been found guilty of a particular category of misconduct. This was the insertion in 2011. The other amendment that we brought forth was in relation to Section 66, that a municipal manager once appointed, the municipal manager must develop and must submit the organogram to a municipality, and the municipality must then approve the organogram. This was done because we also wanted to make regulations in relation to setting out what should be done in relation to the approval of the organogram, that there should be a review of the organogram on a yearly basis so that municipalities are able to function effectively. So this was the one of the decisions that we made. We also amended Section 67 of the Systems Act in relation to the minister having the right and the responsibility to develop uniform norms and standards in local government. This was brought in line with the fact that municipalities were employing different norms and standards, and we felt that the minister responsible for local government should be given the responsibility to develop uniform norms and standards to be applied across the board by all municipalities, also in relation to differentiation of different types and sizes of municipalities. We also amended Section 71 in relation to the following, that as organized local government, before going to the bargaining council, must consult the minister responsible for local government, must consult the FFC, and any other parties that may be prescribed by the minister in the regulations. The intention of this proviso was to see to it that when we go to the bargaining council, the minister must indicate certain economic parameters to SALGA, that these are the issues, this is the economic position. FFC will also advise that this is the economic situation in the country for this particular financial year, and you are advised that you take this in cognizance when you bargain. It does not restrict SALGA to bargain, but only to give them ammunition in relation to how they approach the bargaining council because of the deteriorating economic situation in the country. So that was the section that we also included in the amendment. We also introduced the amendment to Section 72 of the original Act that also fortified the previous section that I spoke about in relation to Section 67, that the minister will have the power to develop minimum norms and standards in municipalities. It gives clearly what should be done, and also the developmental capacity of senior managers in municipalities, that all municipalities must budget for the development or capacity building of their staff members in municipalities. That should be in the budget of the municipality. That should not only be done abstractly, and that will be done guided by the minimum norms and standards set by the minister. We also proposed the amendment of Section 106 of the original Act of 2000, wherein we also gave the minister the power in relation to Section 106. Section 106 originally says, in instances where there are allegations of financial misconduct or any misconduct in municipalities, the MEC will then have to investigate, to conduct an investigation within 90 days and request the minister to implement that. So in this particular instance, we said that in the instance that the MEC fails to act on the allegation of of the report given to the MEC, then the minister may, within 60 days thereafter, institute such investigations. Where the public issues or rise to the MEC and the MEC does not act, we felt that in order to bring comfort to addressing issues raised by members of the public or even whistleblowers, the minister should be given the power to investigate once the MEC has not investigated. The last one was in relation to the voting in meetings. We were of the opinion that councillors who vote for a wrong resolution must be held accountable. And we included this voting of meetings that says a councillor may not vote in favour or agree to a resolution which is before a council or a committee of council which conflicts with any legislation applicable to local government. So we wanted to see to that whatever resolutions that have been taken, councillors individually should be held responsible for taking wrong decisions and making resolutions that are wrong. So this was the amendment that were proposed by the department. It was subsequently introduced to Parliament. Parliament voted in favour of this amendments. They were ascended subsequently by the President, and subsequent to that, then SAMU made a challenge to the High Court and subsequently to the Constitutional Court in relation to the tagging, which is what is the duty of Parliament, and also with regard to the substantive matter, which relates to the political office of senior managers in municipalities. So that's the background that I wanted to give to Parliament. Thanks, Chairperson.
Another point?
No,
I'm not sure whether everyone
has
this
quote.
We don't have it.
We don't have the
quote. We have the judgment.
The judgment. We don't have the Gazette.
National Court of South Africa.
The Gazette is reading from, we don't have it.
Sorry. Money. The point that I want us just to go to, because we have to separate procedural issues from content issues. Or the taking issue. And I think the legal team should just assist us on that one. Whether the bill was declared by Constitutional Court unconstitutional on the technical issues, or there's any substantive issue that the court declared unconstitutional, or was just a taking for 75 to 76. What exactly is your understanding what the court said?
Yes, sir. Because that's the bigger issue. You have to know exactly what was the cause, what was wrong with the bill, and then what was the reason. And then just to take away the content issues from procedure issues. Sometimes the court declares things unconstitutional on the basis of procedural matters that were not sufficient public hearings. Sometimes they declare because it's just inconsistent with the Constitution in terms of the clauses. Sometimes just a simple take, as instead of saying 76, they say 75. Those are the issues that I want us to assist. under some of the lines. Would welcome that. Yes.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Chairperson, when the Constitutional Court was deciding on the matter, it only focused on the taking of the bill. And as a matter of principle, and it has been our observation even in the past judgment, when legislation is declared invalid, the Constitutional Court wouldn't necessarily pronounce on the substantive issues, because the substantive issues would automatically fall away because the taking is invalid. So what the court pronounced on was the taking, and it didn't pronounce on any substantive issues in the bill. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Very clear then, 75 instead of 76. But then why did we take it 75 when it is municipality? Because it doesn't make sense, General, that we take this issue 75, take into court, or sit in court, because we are not also engaged in a lot of other spheres of government. Surely, surely. Okay, it seems that's the only taking issue, really, not substantive issue at the moment. Sarka, that is your understanding also. That you wanted it to be 76. You also wanted to argue for city manager. That they must be the office bearers of the party. The court didn't give any ruling at the moment. Not substantive issue, really, except taking. Okay. Are we correct?
Chairperson, you're correct. I'd like to give you some clarity on why we tagged it the way we did.
Yeah. And the court said that we are wrong.
Yes.
That's very good. We must start from there that we are wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
I did the tagging. Oh, the advisor did the tagging. I did the mistake.
I know. It was you and Tengat.
The reason why we tagged it is because of the principal act. It was already 75 and it passed through. And the bill deals with conditions of service and certain issues in the local government sphere. First of all, sorry, Chair, I rushed here. My apologies for being late. I just had another appointment.
That's fine. I know you are very busy.
No disrespect to any of the members. Good morning. And to my colleagues in this department. So, as I was saying, the principal act was a 75, which at that stage guided us. Remember that this happened in 2010, just after Tongaiwane, which was now the Tongaiwane judgment of the Constitutional Court, which was sort of the watershed decision on how to do tagging. So we were grappling with that. The bill deals with municipal issues, and the Constitution is quite clear, and the court actually agreed with this, that at this point in time, public servants in the municipal sphere of government do not constitute public administration or public service as such. That is separate. And that's why we thought this one must go the 75 route. What we're doing now, since a few of these judgments came out, we'd rather err on the side of caution. But at that stage, we thought it's either 75 or 76, and this one is 75 because it deals with municipal issues, not provincial issues. And the court, in fact, said the reason why it should have been 76 is simply because of Section 195(3). Of the Constitution, and 195(3) deals with the values and principles governing public administration. So there the court said, but that is pervasive. But if you want to be specific on public administration or public service, the High Court and the Constitutional Court said that doesn't constitute, well, municipal workers do not fall within that at this point in time. So there were four or five reasons given by some why it should have been 76, and the court agreed with one, but that was enough. And that was enough to also then, and I agree with my colleague, that was enough to for the court to say we don't have to deal with the proposed, proposed 56A, and whether that's constitutional or not. And they didn't say anything about that. So, yeah, that is where we are. And we can only learn from that, myself especially. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Honourable Masano, I wanted to make a point. If you are covered.
That's what I also wanted to raise.
Okay.
We should just end up with the presentation as was put forward, but that we should also look at what is it that the court said on that. So
okay.
That
I think he's explaining that. It's only taking issues. Not substantive issues, really.
If I might, Chair, I mean, what we did...
The broader issue. The question then would be, what are the implications?
I was going to get what we did from Parliament's side, because the High Court didn't express itself on that. What we did from Parliament's side is to ask the Constitutional Court to suspend the order of invalidity for 24 months, which it did. So Parliament has 24 months to put through its legislative process a new amendment bill, if it's necessary. And there are, of course, always two options. Either the committee can do it with our own committee bill procedures, and we have our drafting in it, or the department can bring legislation and introduce it. But we have 24 months before it's, the invalidity kicks in. The one thing we did. The other thing we asked for, and there the Western Cape provincial government came up with it, and we supported that, and also our own argument on it, is that there's no retrospectivity attached to this order of invalidity. Because the usual situation, if the court finds a bill or legislation unconstitutional, everything that was done in terms of that act falls away and becomes suspect to challenge, because that act is invalid from the date it was signed and came into operation. In this instance, the court said, no, we're not going to do it. We're going to, from the date of the judgment, all the decisions taken in terms of this invalid law will stand. Going forward, of course, I don't think we should take any decisions based on that, but suspend it for 24 months for Parliament to fix that defect. But the previous decisions taken in terms of the Amendment Act will stand.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. I think the department has assisted us, and thank you very much for your input. Members understood now that is a taking problem. Advocate Jeffins, then we should just simply take 76 is enough.
Yeah, of course, when that bill comes again, we'll do it 76, that's no doubt, but if a bill is 75, we must tag it 75.
Yeah.
We can't just say everything should go 76. One could actually, if one really want to unpack it and have a constitutional amendment. But the constitution is clear. You either must choose one of the two.
Yeah.
And it's I think in my unit and my own defense, Chair, the court has also agreed that to say that there's a sort of a gray scale where the more it affects the provinces, the more you need public participation there, and the more likely it is that you're going to have a 76 bill, because that is what the tagging is about. It's not about legislative competency. But I think implicitly the court agrees that it's not always so clear to decide this one is definitely 75 or 76. So as I say, we're grappling with it. We've come to a point now, I mean, in recent times we haven't made a mistake like that. But one can only learn from it. I mean, it's, of course, never a deliberate mistake that one makes to have it easier, because 75 is the easier route, it's the faster route for Parliament. But I'm never swayed by that argument if that question ever comes up.
But I just want to raise one other point. It's fairly related to this, but it may not be that significant. But I think it's important to just pose a question of it. And this is a question of, from the point of view of some, how have they communicated this? It's a question of communication. Because we may say here, it's neither here nor there. But how do others see it?
Chairperson, if I understand the question correctly, it's how was Samu's concern around the bill being communicated to Parliament?
No, post the finding of the court, what is the other side communicating?
Chair, I haven't spoken to them or I dealt with them, but I spoke to their counsel during the court case at the High Court level, We didn't go to the Supreme Court of Appeal, and we went to the Constitutional Court. I spoke to the counsel there again. Samu's problem is 56A. That is also clear when we read the judgment now. They really pushed also for that specific provision not to be suspended. So when the Constitutional Court agreed with Parliament to say we will suspend the order of invalidity for 24 months, Samu said, but if you do that, leave out 56A, because we have a problem with 56A. The political office bearer, senior official reporting direct to the municipal manager issue. That is their crux issue. And when they brought the challenge, according to their counsel, I hope I don't quote him out of context, and forgive me if I do, their main gripe was always 56A, and their afterthought was, let's get onto the tagging, just in case.
Yeah.
And they succeeded with the tagging. When we were at the High Court, the initial arguments, and we sat the whole day just arguing that, what should we hear first, the substantive issue or the procedural issue? And eventually the court said, well, we'll hear both and then make up our minds on it. And it was quite a controversial decision taken by the court. But the bottom line was that the substantive issue was looming large. It was the elephant in the room. And that is, for me, a concern.
But that's what I want to find out. Did the court make any pronouncement on freedom of
No.
So the ramifications of all that's concerned, that's better buried.
No, it's not that the court didn't make any judgment on that issue, because they declare it in terms of their taking processes. That is 75, and now it's wrong. They didn't want to get involved on the politics of the bill. I think what the court did, they put it back to us, truly speaking, rather than taking a view and a decision on this matter, because they would have sorted out the bigger issue. I think they just ran away and go for a procedural issue.
Yeah.
And then this issue is still an outstanding issue. Nyembe, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That is still going to take us to court, even if we take it 76.
Correct, sir.
On the issue of denying other people their right of affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what some really, the substantiveness of the issues are. Even if we take it 74, 75, or 76, some is still going to take us to court on this issue. Because I think they were very clever just to go for taking purposes. It was an easy thing to do than to go for a politics of the bill. Because I think the politics of the bill is much more complex. I'm not sure how the court is going to judge. Advocate, you are here. You will advise as we continue the procedure and processes of again taking the 24 months that is given to us to take it. Taking can be done today for Ambi. Just to say 76 and take it back to the department. Say 76 is gone. But it's an issue that you have to address, because the real issue of some is denying other people their freedom of association. Senior managers, holding political office bearers position, all that. That's an issue there. Because many members of some, anyway, they're office bearers. I think they're trying to protect them, roughly speaking. The court now has put us with a dilemma, because they have not really dealt with the great issue. Whatever we do with this bill, in terms of 76.5, is an easy thing to do. But we're still going to have a problem with some. And I'm not sure how we're going to deal with it, because it's a political issue rather than a legal issue. And advocate, I think as we deal with it, then the parliamentary processes must assist how we deal with this thing. Politically, we have to be managing it, but at the procedural level, and then we have to deal with it soon. Just ensure that we don't sit on this one until the end of 24 months. And the court, I think, will be very angry with us that we are always giving deadlines and we don't meet those deadlines. I don't think they're going to be very kind now. I think it's a separate issue then that we have to deal with. The department have assisted us on the understanding of that issue. The view that we have to take it politically is whether the department take it back and redraft the bill and retrochoose it as 76. And then we design then the process of, because it will be public hearings. then that's what really the big problem. That is really a big problem on that issue. I think we are going to have a real problem. It's a very expensive exercise, and it also takes a lot of time. Yeah.
Because the lawyers are here, Chairperson, and I'm not saying that we should deal with the matter now, but because the lawyers are here, is there a similar case that has been heard by the Court of Law or the Constitutional Court on the politics of the bill on this matter of office bearers and the occupation of specific positions?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know if the department knows. We dealt with this in a way when we spoke to council. Remember, when we were cited, we liaised with the department to see who's doing what part of the application. And our council had a view around the substantive challenge, which was that it's on thin ice, that we'll have to show why it's necessary to prohibit someone so far. The central question would be, is there not less restrictive means to achieve the objective, which is good governance and to actually be accountable to the municipal manager rather than be accountable to your political party, whichever it is. And that was a critical issue. One must unpack that. It's not necessarily that as it is, it's wrong, but one must be very careful and actually try one's best to moderate it and bring it to the least restrictive means on someone's freedom of political choice and freedom of association. That's how I understood. So that was the conversation I had with our council at the time, but they didn't give us a formal opinion on it, and that might be something that one can consider.
But we should do so. Just consider this, because it's going to be an issue. Whatever we do, it is to be an issue. We can also take a view that we invite some, because I think that the key proponent of this, they come, they make presentation to us, and we look at it and hear their views, and I think let us take some little opinion on it, on the real issue, and then we can then moderate it nicely, not losing the meaning, what we expect to do, and then end up with a buffer, being a member of parliament, also the super manager of Johannesburg. I'm counting to the political party taking charge of them. It's a very dicey thing. I don't think the court will anyway win on this. But let us look at it and they will set up the process. I think what we have to decide with the department is whether the department reintroduces it or it goes in terms of the parliamentary processes and procedures. But the department may also maybe have changed their mind already. They must look at this themselves and see some guys here and other team, see what is the best way. Because the problem of all something like this is that once it's 76, if we didn't consult one problem, then the court goes against you. Mm-hmm. If we consult all problems, the man person comes in there, woman who comes in there, says, no, this thing is not gender sensitive, the court against him. That's a bigger problem. We must look at the department reintroducing it, but we have to meet a deadline of 24 months, because it's not a substantive issue. The taking issue can happen tomorrow, another issue. But the substantive issue that is there, seek some opinion, and then we'll advise the chief. But we have to decide, really, is that through the committee system procedure, or we are taking back to the department, or the department to reintroduce it. We have to take a better route, because there are a lot of things that I think the department has to do. But once we get a view about this limitation, and therefore we can see how do you want to handle it. But it's a political issue that I think political parties must deal with it to the politics. But I think the legal side of things also very important, that we don't take it back, and someone comes again and take us to the Constitutional Court again on the substantive matter.
and then the court also ruled against us. I think possible. Let us work it out. Advocate will advise the team once we are ready. I think SARPA also, anyone who can put more opinion to that, please.
No. Thanks, Chair. My apology for coming late. But I think your first suggestion, Chair, is also going to assist us if we can invite some. Because when you listen to some of the procedural matters and that is being presented in the bill, it would be interesting to understand how Sam was dealing with it. I just heard it towards the end. So like an example, the councillors being responsible of their decision made that they are taking in the meeting. All those things is quite interesting to listen how Sam has dealt with such issues. So I will then support your motion, that it will be good just to hear that one so that we have a balance in the future. Thanks.
Okay, well, let us work. Yes.
Chairperson, thank you for my. SAGA has, I just want to indicate that SAGA has already indicated to COCTA that they also think there are some of the implementation challenges of the Amendment Act that we might have to relook. So I would kind of caution that we perhaps take it back to the department to address some of those implementation challenges that we have as well. Some of it figures in the regulations, but if you don't fix the principle act, I think it's not going to help to change the regulations. So we think it might go further than just 56A, although that was a formal challenge. The NSF SAGA has already indicated that they have other sections that they might also want to revisit in the process.
Well, then the department must work it out. Start the department and take it there, bring it to parliament, we look at it. The parliament will deal with the politics of the bill. And then I think let us do it that way then. SACA again will come before the committee to express their view. Let us work it quicker. And just amendment is not a big issue. But of course, it has a substantive issue of going to make it not 24 months. And there are a lot of other working, but there have been a lot of months now for constituents.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We are arranging an urgent meeting with the technical team in Parliament and also with SAGA in relation to the decision that will be taken by Parliament in relation to the process to be followed in response to the directive of the Constitutional Court decision. In the last min-mec of COFTA, the special min-mec that we had, the feeling was that because this was a directive from the Constitutional Court, we are likely not to clout issues that were brought by the Constitutional Court to be attended to at the, within the 24-month period with other matters that may make it more complicated and more difficult for us to continue with that. So we will, the directive that we have from our political principal in the department was that we should continue to engage with all relevant stakeholders in relation to other amendments to the Systems Act at the technical level and develop a problem statement that will be given to Parliament on other amendments to the system side, but this should not be compounded with this process of taking and reintroducing the bill.
Okay. No, we'll work on it, analyze it soon, remain with taking, if you want to remain with taking, but we have to start our cost. I think we have identified a lot of other areas, but the committee also have those areas that concern to you. And then we see, it would be very wrong anyway to go to Parliament, have a bill that is corrected in terms of taking only 5 months down the line, we have to change everything again, the court won't answer on substantive issues. And then, but also if you want to wait for substantive issues, it may take longer than expected. Then the 24 months, the advocate, I'm sure that we can go to the highest courts and tell them that you can't meet their
you can do that. I think maybe just clarity on the so-called targets. It's really our target, not the Constitutional Court. All that's going to happen after 24 months is the statute will disappear from the statute book.
The entire statute.
And one must recall that this statute was there to give effect to those values in 195, to say what kind of qualifications the senior managers must have, and so, and also it gave authority for the minister to make regulations on conditions of service. So if the statute falls away, those regulations will fall away unless we put something else in place. But the Constitutional Court is not going to be too concerned with whether we meet it or not. They will be concerned with our reasons if we didn't meet it, and we go there and say, can you give us another 24 months or another 12 months? For one, we'll have to explain in total why we couldn't meet that deadline. Because I won't say generous, but it's a reasonable deadline. I mean, one can do that in 24 months, and the court is aware of that. So what I'm hearing the department is saying is that maybe Parliament should start working on this bill itself, and the other issues, and that has happened in the past, when we rather say let's have a new bill and we redo this thing and put in all the new issues, that might take longer than 24 months now. And it happened now recently with our Financial Intelligence Center Amendment Bill, where there was the issue of the warrantless searches, and then all other things were thrown in there, and that's still loomed large. It's been signed now, but that bill was not passed within the prescribed time. So what happened was that the authority to have a search fell away, and they had to use the South African Police Service until we've now signed the new bill into law. The President signed the new bill into law. So that is a danger. It's a risk. Let me put it like that. It's a risk that you're not going to meet your own deadline if you make a total new project. And if there's a small tweaks, I mean, from what I'm hearing is that there are other implementation issues. I'm just now using an example, Chairperson, we don't have to, but if Parliament decides to do it, we can take the bill as it is, re-tag it, correct it. We can hear what are the sort of critical implementation issues, and there can be a public hearing around that, and work on that within a committee. The 56A issue, I mean, certainly we have an extensive legal opinion from counsel of SAMU, who wanted to argue that in court. And they argued it at the High Court level, and I have their heads of argument, and I can also phone their counsel and get their views. I can also go to other counsel, and we can get that authority to get a second opinion for Parliament and deal with 56. So it's those things. It's a tagging the 56A, and then is there anything that we must tweak? And Parliament can do that within 24 months just to sort of steer the ship to get that. And I mean, if the department is happy with that, then I think all we need to do is just be clear that we don't do duplication of work, because there's a shortage of resources. I don't know in the department, but certainly in our unit in Parliament. So I want to protect my colleagues on that one. And then we can take it forward. Thanks, sir.
Okay.
No, the committee will take a decision then, and then how to handle this matter. Of course, SAGA is still going to be called upon to come and make the presentation. And then we look at the 24 month and see whether we can meet that deadline or not. Department again will from time to time appear before the committee if there are issues that you want to present. Okay. No, thank you very much for that, and very helpful for us. That's why. It seems Parliament is going to move with it faster. And then talk to your colleagues and then prepare everything. Department, if you want to take it, you can take it also. If we take 5 years, it's not our business. Not our business. Okay, thank you very much for that. Sark, I think you will prepare your input. And then the team, I think the committee will remain members and have a discussion and take a discussion forward and ensure that then instruction is given to what you want to do on this, and then department will be informed, they prepare themselves, like I prepared itself. Some also I think is an interested player. I'm not sure whether we'll decide then whether we need to call the public hearing or can just concern parties only who have shown interest in this reason rather than go to. Okay, thank you very much for your invitation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Felix. I think you had the briefing, Felix, and we have to take a decision. How do you prefer it? Department or ourselves? Parliamentary procedure processes using the rules of parliament to do so? What would be the best rule? Okay. Tim.
And good morning to everybody. I think as I was listening to the legal advisor from Parliament, I think it made sense for it to be done in-house by Parliament, and in terms of also meeting the deadline, because even if maybe we'll say, I think it was on a lighter note when the chairperson said, no, it can be given to the department, and then even if it takes long, it doesn't matter. But I think at the end of the day, it will affect even the image of the portfolio committee and Parliament as a whole. So if it's done in-house, we will be sure that the deadline will be met.
That's what you are going to do. You're going to discuss and take in matter. We have to set the procedure and processes correctly under the rules. Some will be invited. For some's position is very clear. We don't want also to open ourselves up and then still go to all problems. I don't think we have a stamina to do. And we'll try to do that with the legal opinion, advocate that there, and then we split it up. Department will come up with a PFCOLA, SALSA, some, or any other interested party. I think we can do just one day public hearing here in Parliament. Because I don't think everyone will be interested, really. I think those who are involved. SALSA will be interested, and some will be interested. Ourselves are interested. I don't think many political parties would be interested really to come, but if they are interested to appear, I think that's what we should do. We should design that then soon. You may find that anyway. That's how we should do it. Okay. I think we agree that how we are going to pursue it. We have to decide in terms of mini plenaries, because we do have mini plenaries. Why must this court judgment anyway? The 24 months, that went today. That is long term. Why must this court judgment? Twenty-seven. 24 months is almost gone.
Yeah.
End of month. 9 months, 27
days.
This is the issue. Okay. 24 months run through. I think we do have sufficient time. We bear that in mind in terms of our schedule. But as soon as we just close it, it's a better for us. Because we need 1 day public hearing in the National Assembly here in Parliament. Invite all the parties who are interested in the parties here. We'll find time after many plenaries. Don't put it into the issues. So if we have a lot to do on the current plan issues. Okay? Then let us look at our draft program. I think it's a related ordinance.
Yes, I'm looking at this issue of Singapore, where my interest is. The Singapore and Malaysia.
Singapore and Malaysia.
Where my interest lies.
There's no money. Okay, we'll put it there, but we'll see whether there's a process or not. Is there anything problem for this one? Because we are going to have this budget for how are going to aid you? That will set aside Tuesday and Wednesdays that belong to this committee, respectable or not, not just meeting for the sake of meeting, but there's an issue around the report of the department. Next week, I think the 9th, briefing by department on traditional leadership, governance, democracy, the new phase. Amendment, because they can't set up traditional times because there's nothing there. Then they were trying to do so. They would brief us there. Can't we, after that briefing, start with the report, discussing the reform? There are no plenaries, you know, that we can have sufficient time. Because when I look at the report, it's really, really detailed. A lot of the things for discussion in our report. And maybe the briefing don't take more than 5 hours. It can take about 1 hour, month to month, and set up a procedure and processes of that amendment and deal with the report. And then simply on the 9th and on the 10th of May. On the 9th, after the briefing, we start with our OSM, traditional leadership bill, the court, public hearing report. We have a discussion on that, agree on the report, that is correct or not correct, amendment, the court, those issues. The sooner we finalize the report, the better. Then the procedure and processes of amendment are issued when the report is finalized. I think on the 9th, we just put the report, and then on the 10th again, then give the report for the whole course. On the 10th, of course, Honorable James will be attending the small businesses. But on Tuesday, she will always be available. I know that Mr. has been negotiating against the location now. Can we do that then? Agree. On the 9th, briefing by Department of Traditional Affairs on the governance, we start the report, and then on the 10th, then is the report day, we give the report, we finalize the report, agree with the wording of the report, and the report will then inform us how we want to amend the proposed. Because we can amend it if the report is not agreed on, for us to start using the report to amend the bill. The department will be invited, particular director, Chichi Mwale, who will deal with these issues. I think he must be there. The department people on that area. On the 16th, bank infrastructure. Briefing on money is owed to municipality by national and provincial government. Those are issues. 17th of May. And then we start working on the traditional liberation of that. And then on the 23rd, that is Tuesday, we meet the Auditor General, who calls the joint meeting, 24th Wednesday, traditional call, after the report has been adopted, and 30th report on implementation of the integrated urban development program. Deliberation on COI, sufficient time for us to deliberate on this. But we will need time, come to invite also the, after we have started deliberating, the COI then Council General, that we must touch them. I think there's no harm for them when we are deliberating, they are around, possibly. Just to ensure that we, because there are a lot of issues that are raised in our report. And that we have proposals from communities by research organizations to look at it seriously. I think their program collects until June, end of June, generally. And then that they must be, we can go to Singapore and Malaysia.
Yes, is there, will there be money?
If there's money.
Mm-hmm. There
yeah,
should be.
If there's no money, then it's fine.
Just prevail over the treasury, Chair.
Hmm?
Prevail over the treasury to fund okay, this.
Okay.
To fund
prevail
this.
Prevail on them. To give us Singapore.
Yes, please, Chair.
Yeah.
Do you have
yeah.
passport?
Passport.
My concern is about the Department of Law. Maybe if you are speaking the Department
let's find a venue somewhere. There must be a venue. The number of things are so far you go to our chair.
Chair, remember the issue of meeting the chief and the king on this traditional, on this Khoi and San traditional field. Remember that we said we must find a space before even completing the report. There were a number of issues that were raised of being, of them being left outside this whole presentation. I don't know whether are we still organizing that or not. We said even if we can call them in a central place, not even going back to the province.
I know, look at it, because there are dates for dealing with the appeal. We can accommodate you to one or another. It's just general comrade, it's a political problem that we are having. Because they don't recognize first, many of them, they don't recognize the Khoisan Council. And the Khoisan Council was part and parcel of drafting of the bill, but it's very clear that themselves are not in touch with the masses there. And then they create problems for us now. Let us try to mitigate the impact, because whatever we do, I think we won't satisfy all of them. Already, I think they've got a lot of issues that they've raised with us. We look at the report. The report then becomes our report that we use for amending the bill and we move forward, giving the agreement. Ourselves and the department must work on that. We can invite some of the team, particularly those who are and then affected by the bill, the Khoisan community, wherever they are. Just I can do say this is now the report, this is the bill that we are trusting. And again, just to protect ourselves when they will go to court, because there's no doubt in my mind they will go to court. They will go to personal court. There are two complex issues that they are raising. I don't think we can agree with them. But the issue that they are raising is First Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are raising it in general all out. We can't take a position that is different from the country's position on this. I think they will take us to court. And there's no way that we agree on First Nation issues. let us have interaction with them, see what are the issues that they want to raise. Of course, we had a public hearing I see the report also raised some issues. We'll discuss the report, how we phrase it correctly. Colleagues, read the report, because next week when we meet for the report, we must be thorough. In terms of the language that you are putting in the report. We also write a report that says everything was futile. And you can't win any court anyway when you start by saying that. And now everything was very futile. And the objective to this, copies were not available. All this, I think, would be a difficult way of writing. Because there was a reason for everything that didn't happen or happened. And then it's always important to do so. Because whoever I serve, I take a report as it is, take it to court. If you phrase it wrongly, you lose the court case before the court sits. Because the court simply used the very same report. Say, you know, this is what you are reported. It's very given that some people are not consulted. We didn't have copies, there's no certification wise, and no copies, all that can be very problematic. And then I think we must read it, colleagues, because on Tuesday we are starting on it. On Tuesday we start on it, on Wednesday we continue on it. We craft it correctly. We don't use what is not said, but generally we write a report a little bit better ourselves as members of parliament. Yes, there's a lot of things that are there. We try to confirm every meeting that people have what they accepted, they did, the people who accepted some minorities there. But we can't say the people have not. Can't write it. We'll work it out as the sessions, we'll work it out once we go page by page. And then we'll be able then to take it next week, and the 9th, and the 10th. And then we'll continue then with some of the discussion about the choices. Find some time to put in the question again, link up with them, at the leadership level, come to the National Assembly, the discussion of the finalization of that. But the department must come as a user of course, because it's very happy for the department to deal with that. That is the best way that we can do. Can we come to take another point then, if we agree general with the program as it stands, that we can live with if the amendment, or the amendment is no doubt in my mind, a lot of changes that are taking place. And if there are amendments, then we'll amend it. But as it stands now, I think we should endorse it. Agree. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The copies of the amendment
And then the question of a venue, then I think it has been raised several times. I think the team will look at the question of a venue. Actually, I think this one is worth infecting the amenity for, because the space even to move just around is not there. It's a very big factory. It's right for the buffer. When we are meeting with the helicopter, the DA, will be right here. There are a lot of issues that we have to deal with. The report by the cultural and linguistic team. Then general also they'll start going for regulating the rich aspect. I think there's a ground for it now, even myself I support them. The mess that is happening there I think is hard.
I'm not sure what makes up.
All these churches anyway, we can't see a white woman there. But these are just colored Indian and African women.
Yeah.
Who goes there from 9 in the morning until 5. They don't even cook at home.
But these are Pan-Africanist women.
No, but it's a problem because very few may. I've never seen Masondo going to this church. But there's one even here in this corner here. That is Barak street, yeah, down there. Then Universal one, United Universal Popular Church. It's always full. And then people, 9 started 7 until 9, started 9 and still was 1. And people are just coming in large numbers.
Every.
And then because it's a difficult situation. Of course, poverty causes people to think that would be a miracle to solve their problems. And I think it's a bigger issue for people than that. I know that they have worked on this issue now, that their report is ready. They want to present this report, we put on a program, present their report. They want also to have some way of dealing with the situation. It's going to be the most difficult. Regulating which aspect I think is the most difficult. More than this one, that you are saying correct. And then, because I think it's a bigger issue. But also, I think they should answer. We'll put it on the agenda and see what it does. Okay, colleagues, I think then our, if there are issues, then the management committee needs to define them in terms of, I think, Pat, you could be a good member of management committee.
Not Pat.
No. You can be a good member of the management committee.
Melham,
and I think Bata will understand the issues and they move on that. Bata, we may invite you. Management committee, that's to manage in the committee affairs. It's always good to be magnified in type of things. But to make it easy for people to find something. There's no other issue as far as I know. We'll try coming to locate the vein. That is vein in the because the problem that you are going to have, you are going to meet for almost a whole day. I think many Wednesdays and Tuesdays on our side, we must have just almost a permanent type of a vein. That is big enough. When we invite people to come, they have space. Or the private exciting one, but I think the signature is going to look at the question of the day. This one I think is very fair. And then we start out, there are two people here, they can't move around. It's very difficult to move around. We have many people. Colleagues, I think we agree with the program. The standard is amended. The management committee will be called to sit down and look at it. We have to identify organizations, the numbers, those that we wanted to meet on the process of redrafting the legislation. A COI community that may want to come in again with some presentation. I do think that we should also invite those who are doing research. There's this one. Is there people who are
not now.
Something like that. Who came last time when we call all the research organizations? Mm-hmm. I think we should invite them. Because to share with them our report and understanding would be a good idea to engage with us.
Who's this lady?
Not Mukhale.
Not now.
Mukhale now. I think we are friends. We solve the problem. I hate you with you. And in shame, I think you missed a lot of serious engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I think the report will be very helpful to you. And I think, colleagues, as far as we are concerned, maybe we should attend it.
Thanks.
Until next week, Tuesday, then. We set time really for a little bit longer. The secretary will tell the meeting to be there on time. Because one is a technical secretary, thank you very much for waiting. Thank you. We are invited for tea, Maswa.
The band.
No.